Mother's Day to all of you moms out there, out and about. Yeah. Hey, you know, I figured the pressure's on for me here this morning. I have really got to do this right, because not only is my mother listening, but my kids' mother is listening. So I better not screw up here. This could be bad. I am under pressure this morning to really deliver. So, quite a few years ago, I heard this poem about mothers that really, it gripped me. When I saw it, I have never forgotten this poem, memorized it even. It's a very powerful poem, and I wanted to bless moms with it here this morning, okay? And it was first made public on that highly distinguished show called Home Improvement. Oh, you've heard of it. Yeah, highly distinguished show. In fact, I think it was second season, episode 23. You could go ahead and check that out. All right? And so, to set the scene, you know, Tim Taylor is hosting his Tool Time show, and he asks three guests from K&B Construction to demonstrate mixing cement. And he's like, how's this got to do with moms? Bear with me. Okay, so that's what's going on. Before they do that, one of these construction workers, Pete, he interrupts, okay? He interrupts. So allow me to reenact. Excuse me, Tim, if we have just a minute, I'd like to read a poem, a short poem I wrote for my mom. She'll be spending Mother's Day at Michigan State University. No, penitentiary. Well, given the circumstances, I think we could put down our tools for just a minute and give a salute to all mothers anywhere they're spending time. An Ode to My Mother by Peter Biltner. That'd be me. Who etched this tattoo in her purple mumu? Mother, mother. And who paid my bail every time without fail? Mother, mother. And who rushed to the car with my severed thumb in a jar? Father, father. But who sewed it back on when the doctor was gone? Mother, mother. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Well, there you go. Yeah. I think it was a home run. With that, we should pray and get into things. Lord, I do want to thank you for our moms. They do so much for us, more than we could ever imagine. Before our minds were creating memories, they were taking care of us, sacrificing over us. And it's a beautiful thing. And I pray, God, that this service would be a tribute to the mothers of Lifehouse Church and any mom that happens to listen to it. So I ask you, God, bless this service and doubly bless our moms. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, I know you'll want to look at this again. There it is. There's my. It's an archiceratops. It's a relative of the triceratops. You can feel free to take a look at it again later. Okay, 14 years ago, USA Today published a study that revealed that mothers enjoy their work. Your tax dollars at work there. I was thinking they should have just asked my wife and given us the $2 million. But, you know, that's what they did. They did this study. They found out that the mothers enjoy their work, but they also found out that they would like to feel more valued for the work that they do. In fact, one out of every five mothers that this surveyed, they feel less valued by society since becoming a mother. You become a mom and you're less valuable. I mean, I think that's a crying shame. What is driving that sentiment? Where does that come from? All right, I might actually know that, answer that question, but why? Why would raising the next generation not be considered valuable by our society? Why? I mean, I think that just sounds crazy to me. So, what I did was I took some of the three most common social norms of what people consider to be valuable in our society today. I took three of them and stacked them up against motherhood to see what we would get, to see how mothers would be. So, I'd like to show you what I discovered. First one. So, what does our society consider important? Money. Thank you. I didn't even pay her for that. I'd say that without question, it's money. It's definitely money. And that's what people like. Pulling down a six-figure income, woo, that gets instant respect in our society today. And the way our society thinks is that the more money you make doing a job, the more valuable you are. Not necessarily the job, but you are more valuable if you hold down a six-figure income. And so if that's the case, then what does that say about mothers? They're at the bottom. They'd be at the bottom. Some people don't even consider motherhood to be a real job. In fact, a mom has to work outside the home before they're called a working mother. As if, you know, doing the laundry and cleaning the house and making the meals and on we go isn't work. I beg to differ. Once my wife was gone for a day, I was worn out. So, seriously, whoever came up with that term wasn't thinking. But our society thinks that way because moms don't earn a salary for what they do. What our society needs to know, what we need to know, is the results of an annual study conducted by salary.com. It's a website, you can go to it, salary.com. And they do this every year. They calculate how much a stay-at-home mom would be paid for the work that they do. How much would they earn? And so they calculate this every year, and this year's annual salary for a stay-at-home mom is $162,581. You know, I was thinking, Patrick, we should have a ding, 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 or something. I mean, how about that, Ma? We could live off that. We could go on vacation. So, yeah, $162,581. You see, salary.com tracks what jobs are paying for the type of work done. And their study suggested that the annual base pay for a 40-hour stay-at-home mom's work week, which is actually Monday through Sunday, and then hit the repeat button, would be $55,461. But mothers don't just work 40 hours a week. So when you calculate the additional overtime, 60 hours of overtime, then you end up with another $107,120, giving the mom's grand total salary of $162,581. There you go. Now society should, like, stand up and pay attention. And that pay scale is actually based off of two school-age kids, a mom with two school-age kids that go to public school. So I just figured, and it stands to reason, I should recalculate this number. What would it be if you have three kids still at home, you know, and they're homeschooled? I kind of wondered, what would it be if they were homeschooled? Teacher's salary is now entered into the equation. Well, using salary.com's median salary and adding an additional salary for a secondary education teacher, a part-time pastor's assistant, and overseeing the care of a small zoo of like two dogs, 12 cats, turtle, three fish, lizard, and a brood of chickens, what would you come up with? Well, the annual six-figure salary for somebody with that type of job description is $249,982 a year. That is almost a quarter of $1 million to you. Any other mom that's got that kind of a job description? How about you that $8 just to make it an official $18 for even gifted $18 to make it an actual quarter of $1 million goes to you, mom. How about that? That's gotta work. That's the kind of salary my wife should be pulling down. When I compare my salary to hers, I'm a bit insecure. But it's great. Well, Bill Coleman is actually the vice president of compensation for salary.com. And when he was interviewed about this annual salary that they do for moms, he said this: the importance of this calculation or this estimate is just calling attention to the fact that being a stay-at-home mom is not a cop-out. It's not the woman's way out of the workforce. And it's not a job of no value. There is a lot of value there. And some would say it's even priceless. I would agree with that. Of course, you mothers know that you cannot attach a figure to the time spent with your kids. As many of you know, God himself puts an incredibly high value on motherhood. God thinks very highly of motherhood. In fact, it's in the top 10. The top 10 commandments. It's in the top 10. It's actually the fifth commandment in the 10 commandments. And that might be more significant than you might think. Because if you were to look at the 10 commandments, you will notice that the first four commandments all relate to our relationship with God. It's all about our love relationship with God. The other six all deal with human relationships. And the first commandment that deals with human relationships before murder, before adultery, before theft, is honor your father and mother. Yeah, that is the first one. And it does appear, if you look at the Ten Commandments closely, that there is a ranking of the severity of the sin. So the most significant human relationship in God's eyes is your relationship with your mom and dad. Okay? Pretty intense. God thinks highly of mothers. In fact, the very following chapter, you'll find the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. In Exodus 21, God shows us just how serious he is about honoring moms. How serious is he? In Exodus 21, under the law, the Mosaic law, he instituted the death penalty for anyone who attacks or even curses his mother. The death penalty. If you curse your mom, that makes you think about what comes out of your mouth the next time you get mad at your mom, huh? That's what it was under the law. In fact, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says that if anyone disobeys his or her mom, their eye should be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. You know? That's poetic. I mean, that would be like the serious do they call it when you karma, instant karma? Jeez. Hey, I'm not making this stuff up. You can look it up in your own Bible. Guys, I know there's two reactions to this. One is like, whoa, thank God for grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, right? Thank God we're not under the Mosaic law. But the other thought should be, whoa, God really has a high premium on motherhood. High premium. And he's trying to communicate that to us through the severity of the consequences of disrespecting your mother. And the command, of course, to honor your mother and father is the only command with a promise attached to it. The promise being that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. Your life will go better if you obey your mom. Or at least your eyes won't get pecked out. At least that. But wow, guys. Okay. Our society values money. Moms should get paid $250,000. God says it is priceless. There is no human relationship more important than this one. What's the next one? The next one is, we need to keep this in mind. It's not just our welfare, you know, but the fate of the nation is at stake when we consider our moms, because the second thing that our society values is influence. Influence. People who are making a difference in the world are valued. They're respected in our society, whether they be a scientist creating new technologies like for NASA or something, or they're doctors saving people's lives, or whether they're politicians and lawyers who make or manipulate. All right, maybe not that last one. Let's just scratch that last one. But we respect people who with power, with influence, okay? Even if they manipulate it and abuse it, we still respect people who have influence in our society. But listen, before history is ever made by some influencer, history makers have to be made. Mothers are the real force behind world change. They're the real force behind that. Now, I know he's like, oh yeah, isn't that quaint? You know, we don't really like, whoa, moms are bigger and better than I thought. No, why not? Because I think one of the reasons we don't really attribute a person's success to their mom is because the process is so slow. I mean, it takes like forever, you know? You can't raise up a history maker overnight. It is a slow, gradual process, day by day, month by month. You know, it takes years and years, sometimes years and years and years, even a lifetime, really, to train up a child in the way that they should go. It takes a lifetime. It is an investment of your life to train a child in the way that they should go. And many mothers, they never even see the difference that they make in the world through their sons and their daughters. They never see it. And most of the world is oblivious to it, you know. You'll rarely catch a mom being celebrated, you know, for their son's or daughter's success. It sometimes happens, and when it does, go boom! Because it's an exciting thing when a football player just won championship, credits their mom or, you know, their dad. Boom! That is great. When that happens, it's a beautiful thing. And we need to seize on that. But it's rare. It's rare. What moms and most of the world, what they see, and what they then blame the parents for are those ungrateful, irresponsible, nose-dripping kids. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. And I actually heard this once, where a boy was not responding real well, and they said, well, the mother really dropped the ball on that kid. Oh, the mother was to blame when the kid has got problems, but when the kid has a success, well, then it's all on him. And that just shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. One woman, though, was asked, if you had to do it all over again, if you had to do it all over again, would you have children? And she thought, and she said, yeah, but not the same one. There's one girl, she wrote this note to her mom. She said, I believe I have this. Yeah, dear mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school. Just what the mom wants, you know? Kids to stay home on Mother's Day, you know? Yeah. Or how about this one? This is from a 15-year-old son. This, let me set it up. Here, go back. Don't let him see it. Yeah. A 15-year-old boy, he came home from school, and he sees his mom in bed, and he asks if she was sick or something, and he seemed genuinely concerned, and the mom replied that, in fact, she was not feeling well. And to that, the son replied, well, don't worry a bit about dinner, Mom. I'll be happy to carry you down to the stove. Really? Really, Rex? I mean, come on. Seriously. But before we get too hard on Rex, I will remind you that there was a time once in the middle of dinner that sweet Savannah said this, if I threw up on the car, it would be all dirty and you would have to clean it. You know, I mean, it would be more funny if you didn't think, maybe she's trying to tell us something. You know, we go outside and we check out the car. But yeah, I mean, wow, thanks. And so the process of child rearing is a slow and difficult progress. And it's so imperceptible at times. It's so imperceptible that many make the mistake that it's not happening. Even moms make the mistake. Ah, they'll never grow up. You know? They make the mistake because it's so slow. Moms aren't doing anything, you know, for their kids. It can almost feel like you're wasting your time, you know, and it can be so hard. It's all you're doing is trying to keep the kids alive, you know? You're trying to keep them alive, keep them out of trouble, out of prison or something. You don't even really see the successes you have. But really, nothing could be farther from the truth. What you moms are doing, that slow, steady progress, investment into their lives, oh, you have no idea the benefit it is having, the difference it is making in their lives. And in the end, it will be an investment that's fully worth it. Fully worth it. Malachi 2:15 gives us this challenge that moms live up to. Has not the Lord made them one, talking about marriage, in flesh and spirit they are his? And why one? Why marriage? Why? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Godly offspring, that's the end goal for parents, for Christian parents for sure. Any parent with their salt, they want their kids to be godly, God-honoring, following Jesus till their dying day. You know, specifically speaking about the work of a mother, Proverbs 31 says this, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. You know, I really appreciate the quotes that Bob shared because those are quotes by influencers, by history makers. I'd like to repeat George Washington's because it's so good that I have it in my message as well, Bob. You know, I stole my thunder just a little bit. But here it is, George Washington. Let your minds think about what he said. This is George Washington, you know, the father of our nation. I mean, look at this. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am. Think about who's saying this. George Washington. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Wow. There's more than that. Abraham Lincoln, he says, I remember my mother's prayers And they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And he led us through the most devastating war we've ever experienced. He kept the nation together. He says his mother's prayers for his life were not without effect. They were not without effect. Thomas Edison, famous inventor, he said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effect of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I have more of the quote here. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness, her potent powers to keep me in the right path. Oh, okay. They were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. How about that? My mother was the making of me. Thomas Edison. It wasn't college. It wasn't a mentor later in life. It wasn't some book that shaped them. It was their mother. Mothers. It was their mother. And I have my own mother here to thank for her role in shaping my life. To know that I wouldn't be the kind of man that I am today if it wasn't for her. You know, I read a story about four theologians who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One really liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful, old English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it was closer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still, another liked a contemporary version because of its up-to-date vocabulary and relatability. The fourth guy of these four theologians, he was silent for a moment and then said, I like my mother's translation best. Surprised, the other three men said they didn't know that his mother had translated the Bible. And he said, oh yeah, he replied. She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. That's the influence of a mom on kids, on society, and on the world. In addition to money and influence, our world values power. Power. People who can command other people, telling them what to do. That gets respect in our world today. But our world has some severely messed up priorities. And Jesus points this out in Luke 22, verses 25 to 30. Jesus said, in this world, the kings and great men order their people around, and yet they are called friends of the people. Do I continue the verse or do I read it on my own? But among you, there you go, those who are the greatest should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Normally, the master sits at the table and is served by his servants, but not here, for I am your servant. You know, in every single gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them, Jesus is recorded as saying, that the greatest among you, the greatest person on earth, is a servant. The greatest among you must be a servant. And can any word better summarize a mother than a servant? I cannot think of one. They are truly a servant of servants. If you think otherwise, let me relate to you a story shared originally by Rick Duncan, and he shared this story in a sermon that he gave entitled Seven Wonders of a Woman's World. All right, so here's his story. It says, one afternoon, a man came home from work to find total mayhem in his house. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud, with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn all around the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open. It was, as was the front door of the house. Preceding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. The throw rug was wadded up on the wall. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring the cartoon channel, and the family room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, the dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. Dog food spilled on the floor. A broken glass lay under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and more piles and piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she may be ill or something serious had happened to her. He found her, lounging in the bedroom, still curled in the bed in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked at her in bewilderment and asked, what happened here? She again smiled and answered, you know how most every day when you come home from work, you ask me, what in the world did I do today? Yeah, he said incredulously. Well, today I didn't do it. Every once in a while, a dad needs to be put in his place. And she did it masterfully. And we need to stop criticizing our mothers for things that we think they should be doing and start congratulating them for the things that they are doing. I like what Milton Berle says for many reasons, but I like this quote. If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? You know, they should have evolved three or four by now. But no. You know, I am confident that if the greatest in heaven is the servant of all, that come judgment day, when God is handing out rewards to the righteous, we will be shocked when some completely unknown mother of some like 13 kids, some unknown mom, receives the greatest honor in heaven. And it won't be the likes of an Apostle Paul or a Billy Graham, but it'll be a mom that no one ever heard about. I like what Elizabeth Elliot said in her book, The Shaping of a Christian Family. She said about mothers that they are a quiet servant of necessity, doing the work no one would notice or thank her for, no one, that is, except him to whom it could be offered as a daily sacrifice of love. Make no mistake, God values the one who serves more than any other. In Hebrews 6:10, God himself says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Specifically related to moms, let's go back to Proverbs 31. Remember how her child arise and they call her blessed, and her husband, he praises her. Well, what do they say? Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And that is so true for mom. Lord, I want to thank you that mothers have a uniquely difficult job, a 24/7 type of job. And oftentimes when we say 24/7, we're just being a little facetious. Not so much this time. They're always on the clock. Even when they're sleeping, they have to be ready to respond to a cry, to an injury, to a need of some kind. They have to be ready to respond. It's a hard job and often a thankless job. But not here. Not today. On this day and in this place, we want to give honor where honor is due. And God, before you and before man, we say thank you to every single mom in this place. To those who are not able to make it, we say thank you for the hard, hard work that you do, for the life of selfless sacrifice that you do for us. It is beyond any sort of monetary value. It truly is priceless. And we thank you, God, for it. We thank you, God, for our mom. In Jesus' name, amen.